Now, we heard the Christmas story this morning, and this is the story where Jesus, who was, of course, in heaven, second person of the Trinity for eternity past, became man at some point in time. Became man, became the Son of God, lived a sinless life, crucified, died, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, will come back to get his people in the end, who will live with him for all eternity. So the question is, why did God do this? We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Why did Jesus come to earth in the first place? Why did the second person of the Trinity also become man to be fully God and fully man at the same time? So if I posited a question to you, that question to you, you'd probably say Jesus came to solve our sin problem. And if I said true or false, I would imagine that most people in Christendom would say true. Jesus came to solve our sin problem. And I would like to posit to you today that that actually is false. That is not why Jesus came. Now that problem was fixed by his coming, but I want to try to convince you today that that was not the primary reason that Jesus came to earth. And I'm going to explain, that's why I'm calling this sermon, The Problem Jesus Came to Solve. And I'm hopeful that this sermon today will reorient you and change your view in the way you look at your own Christianity, the way you look at your relationship with Jesus. And if you are here today as a believer, I hope that this really changes and improves your growing up in Jesus. But if you're not a fully committed person, a disciple of Jesus, not a follower, but you're here because you're interested, I hope this is just changes your perspective of Christianity and makes it much more attractive. Let's pray. Lord God, before we get started, Lord, I pray that your words will be put in my mouth, that our hearts would be ready to hear what you have to say. And Lord, I just pray that we would see the truth right there in your word and be changed forever. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. All right, so the problem Jesus came to solve, let's go all the way back to the beginning. Let's start right out in the beginning in Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I would like you to think about this for a second, because this particular verse draws an illustration for us. It puts a picture in our mind that God in heaven came down to earth and formed man and made Adam into this man, and then he bent over and breathed into him the breath of life. The breath of life is what it says. This creates a picture, and I think it's a very important theological picture, that life comes from God. Life comes from God. And life is a connection to God. Life, as it was intended originally, is a connection to God. And I would like to encourage you with this idea in mind as you read the whole rest of the Bible. This is the second chapter of the Bible. As you read the whole rest of the Bible, think of life as coming from God and being connected to God. And I encourage you to do that, because I think it'll change the way you read Scripture. Now, two verses later, this seems like a setting verse. Not important, just kind of, you know, it's kind of scenery, if you will. It says, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we seem to focus on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's two trees. The tree of life is over here, and is a different tree than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're very different. And I want to tell you that it's more than a setting. There's some theology in here that we need to walk away with. But then God says to Adam, he says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, you can eat from all the other trees, presumably from the tree of life. And he says, but not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. You will surely die. Now, Adam and Eve are probably like you and I. If someone said, hey, that car lot down there that has 100 cars in it, the keys are in every single one of those cars. You could drive anyone you want, anytime you want, except for the red Camaro. What are we all going to do? We're all going to go look at the red Camaro, right? So anyway, they didn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for one chapter. We're really not sure how long that was, but they got there anyway. And I would like you to say that it seems like the moment they die, by when you read Genesis 2:17, the moment they die is the moment they eat. The moment they eat is it the moment they will die. Now, the rest of the story we know. Satan comes, gets Eve to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She hands it to the husband, he eats too. We know that part of the story. But then we get to Genesis 3:8, which occurs right after they eat. And it says, they hid from the Lord God. They hid from the Lord God. Now, this is before God confronted them. God didn't confront them yet. He hasn't talked to them. This is before he pronounces judgment on Adam and Eve and Satan. None of that's occurred yet. God hasn't said anything. God hasn't done anything yet. But they hide. They hide from God. The first thing that they did, and what I'd like to suggest to you, that it was at that moment the breath of life left them. This is the moment they died. This is the moment they died. Did you ever stop to think that the word sin is not used in the first three chapters of the Bible? The most important sin in the history of the world, well, second most. Killing Jesus was probably the biggest. This is the second biggest. The word sin is not used. I think there's a reason for that. Now, sin does occur, there's no question. But that's not the point in chapter 3. What I would like to say to you is that that moment, they made two decisions. They stopped believing God. Number one was their first decision. That was their first decision. They stopped believing God and started listening to the devil. The second decision was to eat the fruit. Remember, the first decision was unbelief. The second decision was actually to act upon that. And at that moment, they lost connection to God. They lost that vital connection to God. They lost life. They died. Oh, they kept on living for quite a long period of time. Kept on living, but it wasn't life as God had intended. They were dead. They were dead spiritually. They died. They were emptied of that God connection. So I would like to suggest to you that life throughout the Bible is with God. We are designed to live with God. And death is a separation. It's a void of God. It's to be missing God. And you could be walking around quite healthy and dead spiritually. You could be the walking dead. We are born living physically, but we're without God. Have you ever had the wind knocked? Anybody ever had the wind knocked out of them? Anybody? Horrible feeling. I mean, you can't breathe. And at that moment, you would do anything to fill up your lungs. You can't breathe. And I would suggest to you, life without God is the same way. There's a void in our that God created for him, and there's a void there that he's not filling. So what do? We look for other things to fill that void. That emptiness has to be filled, and we pick a whole bunch of different things to fill that emptiness. So why did Jesus come? Well, let's listen to him. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may behave." You see, he gave us this rule book so that we would behave, that we would, because of our knowledge of good and evil, we'd get off the evil branch and get onto the good branch. In other words, Jesus came to say, shut up and obey. Well, some of you that know your Bible pretty well know that that's not what John 10:10 says. In fact, Jesus never said any of those things. But I want to tell you, isn't a lot of our Christianity, a lot of our discipleship based on that understanding, that kind of understanding? You know, isn't our discipleship based on stop doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff? No. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus came to restore what mankind lost in the garden. We lost life. We lost life. That's the problem he came to solve. He came to restore our connection that gives us real life. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 20:31, the Gospel of John, John tells us why he wrote the book. The whole Gospel of John is for this purpose. He says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Jesus did not come to earth so that we would behave better. That happens, but that's not the purpose. Purpose is life. He wants us to have life. He wants us to be connected to God, that we may have life. And I tell you, you say, "Well, what's going to keep man in check?" Let me tell you, when you are filled with the life, the breath of God, he comes upon you and you feel that connection, you're not going to go out and view porn. You're not going to rip off your customers. You're not going to blow off your parents. You're not going to waste your time with drug and alcohol and all the other things that can destroy our lives. You have no interest in it. When you have that connection to God, when you have life, remember, Jesus wants us to have life into the full. So we need to change our worldview. We need to change our worldview as we think about this. What's a worldview? A worldview, if you don't know, is the way we process what we encounter in the world, the way we see the world, you know, the moral values that we bring them, our attitudes, our belief systems. And we need to change it. You know, one time I was in Fishkill, New York. I was in a big hurry. I needed gas. I couldn't go any further. You know, do you ever just put off gas till you're just about empty, and you come to the next gas station, no matter what the price is, you got to pay? I'm sure you never happens to you. But I was in one of those places, and there's a long line there. I'm worried about pulling out of gas, and there's a long line behind me. I finally get up there, and I'm looking at the thing. I put my card in. I can't. You know, the screen is blank. It's not coming out. I go, "Oh, jeez, all these people just got to get, and it's got to die on me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I'm putting the card in wrong." So I go in the guy. I go, "Hey, man, I don't know what's going on with your machine. It's not working." And he looks at it. He goes, "Well, it's working here. I can see it." He says, it saw your card." "Well, it's not telling me it saw my card." He walks over there with me. He looks at it. He goes, "Do me a favor. Take off your glasses." And I go, "Oh, okay." The tint was blocking it out. See, my view was wrong. I had the wrong glasses on. I couldn't see. And a lot of times, we can't see what's really going on in this world. So we need to change our worldview from living for Jesus, in other words, performing for him. We need to change from that. Too many of us are trying to perform for Jesus. Now, I know you're not going to do that this year, but at Christmas time or whatever, everybody goes to grandma's house, right? Grandma's house will go, you know the song. Now, when you get there, does grandma have, you know, the brooms and the shovels and the mops and the hammers and nails all laid out so you can start working? No. You're there to be together. You're there to be together and enjoy that connection you have. And God wants that connection with us too. He doesn't want us to perform for Him. Now, you may want to help grandma and grandpa, but that comes from the relationship. You know, there's a theological term called the independence of God. And it comes from one of the places, Acts 17:25, when Paul said, "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything." Did you know that God doesn't need anything from you? He survived from eternity past without the stuff you do, and he will survive real well if you aren't here and not performing for him. He doesn't need us to perform for him. So we need to change our worldview from living for Jesus to living from Jesus. Living from Jesus. I want to remind you, he gives the breath of life. He gives forgiveness. He gives the Holy Spirit. God wants us to flow through him. He's looking for willing vessels. That's what life is. It flows from God out into the through us and into the world. Our life is best lived when we're living life from God. Does that make sense? Doesn't that make a lot more sense than trying to perform for him? And so what I'm asking today to do, to move from behaving for God to living for him. Behaving to living for him. And that is life. It's life to the fullest. That's what God wants us to have. Let me illustrate that with Galatians 2:20. A great verse. Paul says, "I have been crucified for Christ." In other words, his old sinful self has died with Jesus on the cross. "And I no longer live." That sinful Frank shouldn't be living anymore. "But Christ lives in me." He lives in me. He's from God, living in me. The life. See these words? All throughout Scripture. "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." That's living. That's living. I want you to stop thinking as the commands of God as a corral to hem you in. It's not what it is at all. I would rather you think about a beautiful mountainside that you're driving down, and there's guardrails to keep you from falling off the edge and destroying yourself and killing yourself, or destroying your life. They're guardrails so that you could have life to the full. That's what the commands are. They're from God for you. They're not for you to obey for Jesus. It may seem like a small change. It's a big one. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole new worldview. Reading your Bible is wanting life with God, that connection. That's how he designed us to live. So in your worldview, if you are a Christian, seek life, commune with God. We're going to do 21 days of prayer. You've heard some talk about it. You've read something about it. Starting January 10th. This is scripture. Starts with scripture. We pray it back to God. We think about it. We think about the implications and we respond. We let it flow through us. And so this is going to be a great kickoff to what we're talking about today, living for God. And so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, make that change today to seek life, not behavior. And I want to tell you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the truth is you're still spiritually dead. You still have that void that you need to fill. And you can only fill that with a right relationship with Christ, taking Him as your Lord and Savior. He wants to give you life. It's trusting in Jesus is what He's looking for. Amen? Does that make sense? That's what He's looking for, to have a relationship with you. And I want to tell you how this changes your life. If you're living with someone, not married and living with someone, you're trying to fill that void in your life with a relationship, for example. But when you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're filled and alive and have that connection to God, you realize, you look at each other and say, God meant this for us to be married or not, but it is meant by God to be a lifelong commitment. And so you'll look at each other and you'll say to yourself, we need to get married. Or we need to live apart until we're ready to make that commitment. That's life, because God has your best interest at heart. He has your children's best interest at heart. That's the difference between life and death. And you start to think differently when you realize that God has a lot for you so that you can receive from Him. And so I pray that if this is Christmas season, you'll make the decision to live and leave that dead body. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for these very, very important words, Lord. Life. Life. And I pray, dear God, that we would seek life from You. And that's living. Be with us, dear Lord. May we make the change from trying to behave to trying to live instead from You. And I pray if there's anyone here that does not know You as Savior, Lord, as Lord of their life, Lord, I pray that they would make that decision today to repent and believe in You and to live a life alive in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all the people said, amen.